Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Vayikra Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Vayikra. Our Aliyah runs for 19 psukim from Perek Dalad, Pasuk Chav Zayin, to Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud. The topic of our Aliyah is the personal sin offering and the variable Karban. Let's take a look at a brief overview of the Aliyah, and then we'll delve into some points to ponder. We've already seen three permutations of the Karban Chatas, the sin offering, for a Kohen, for a Sanhedrin, and for a Nasi, for a leader. We now hear about it as it applies itself in the most common case, which is to the individual. We're talking about a person, achas, nefesh achas techeta vishkaga, person makes a mistake. Obviously, we're talking about something which is a very high level of sin, if a person were to have done this intentionally, it would have been a kares, it would have been excommunication. If they make a mistake, and they do this by mistake, in such an instance, they bring a karban. We hear two versions of what that karban could be. It could be Si'iras Izim, Tmima Nekeva, it's a young goat, or Kim Keves Yavir Karbana, or it could be a lamb. So two variations as to what this karban could be, and it then describes how it is dissected, how it is burnt up, and how the offering looks. However, at the end of our Aliyah, as the beginning of Perek Hay, we hear about what is known as Korban Ole V'Yoreid, literally a sacrifice which goes up and down. We hear that it comes in the circumstance of three circumstances. A pure person hears testimony and refuses to come to the subpoena to present the testimony in a court, or a person who becomes impure and then impurifies the Mikdash or holy things in the state of impurity, or a person who makes a Shavua, makes a oath to do something and does not and transgresses that oath by mistake. In all those three instances, a person will bring a chatas. This is going to be a sin offering. However, the optimal case is going to be a kizpa or si'iras izim. So it's going to be the case of a regular korban chatas, which is a lamb or a goat. But if the person cannot afford it, then it's yoreid. The korban has a, we'll call it second tier price range option, which is shnei b'nei yonah, two turtle doves. One is a chatas and one is an ola. And then finally, if that person still is not able to, there's a third tier of this, which is the idea of the meal offering, which is in its place. So we really have three versions, and that the third version or third tier, depending on their affordability, is to found in the next Aliyah. Now let's take a look at some basic ideas over here. This idea of the Korban Chatas in the first place, the sin offering, which is brought for mistakes. Why are we responsible for mistakes? So let's deepen that question a little bit by going to the Ramah of Moshe Isserles in his glosses on the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim. And this is to be found in the halachas of Yom Kippur. This Ramah is found in Hilchos Yom Kippurim in Siman Taf Resh Gimel, Halacha Aleph, where the Ramah tells us that it is harder to do atonement for a mistake than for an intentional sin. Why? Sofek Avera, if a person doesn't know if they did an Avera, is harder to do teshuva for, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, than doing a real sin, because a real sin, a person who knows what they did, can atone for it, can have the contrition necessary to go to retract their steps, but not for something which one doesn't know about. Why is that? Why is not knowing if you do know what you did, why is that actually more of a concern? So it takes us back to a very fascinating Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which is to be found in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis and the third parak of Bereishis as a whole, when Adam and Chava are receiving their punishments for having transgressed, eating the fruit, the way the Torah phrases it is, Ula Adam Amar Ki Shamata L'Kol Ishtecha V'Atecha V'Na Eitz, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree. But isn't that a good rule? We do listen to our spouses. That's a good thing. Why is Adam being punished, it seems, for having listened to his wife? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it's because at this point in time, this is their first day in creation. Hashem has given them this command. His wife offers him this fruit, and they know that he knows that all the fruit in the garden is allowed except for one. If he really, really cared enough about that mitzvah, he would have just said, honey, tell me, where did they get that fruit from? If he really cared, it's the beginning. It's not like they've had experience, they know where everything is. Just care. Think about it and ask. And therefore he was punished because he took it too easily. Oh, of course, it should be fine. Everything's all right. It doesn't really matter so much. If the stakes are high, you don't make mistakes. And that's the point. What the Ramah is saying is that when we don't know if we did an Avera, the reason why it's so difficult to atone for that is because if we don't know about it, it clearly didn't matter to us enough. If it doesn't matter to us enough, we're not going to fix it because it didn't really matter in the first place. That's what we say in the Al-Khetz on Yom Kippur. We say, Al-Khetz Shechatanu, on the sin that we sinned in front of you, we beat our chest, when we say, Bivli Das, when we didn't know. It's not that we didn't have the knowledge, it's that we didn't care enough to have the knowledge. That's what the problem is over here. And that's precisely what's happening over here. The Shem Yishmael explains the reason why it is that a korban is brought, a sacrifice is brought on a mistake. It's a mistake. I forgot that today was Shabbos. I didn't know this was Aser. Why is it so serious? The answer is because you don't know about things you don't care about. And if you really cared about it, you wouldn't make a mistake. Nobody misses that job interview that's critical to their career just because they forgot. Nobody, by mistake, treads on the third rail of the railway because they forgot that it's dangerous. You don't forget things that are important. And that's really what's being said over here. That's why the Korban Chatas is so important. It's to atone for not just the mistake, it's to atone for the mindset that led to a mistake. That's what's happening over here. We move to the end of the Aliyah, and we have this very fascinating korban ole v'yored, a korban which goes up and down depending on the financial standing of the person. What's fascinating about it is that there are three sins, as mentioned just a moment ago, there are three sins which are being atoned for. A shvua sa'edus, which is a person who is refuses to testify in a civil case when he's being brought to oath to actually to testify. Second case is a person who comes impure and touches or comes in contact with the Beis Hamikdash or Karbonos in a state of impurity, or a shvua spitui, a person makes an oath to do something and then it reneges on it and violates that oath. In this case, there's a three-tiered, we'll call financial system as to what kind of korban they can bring, a regular chatas type of korban with an animal or the birds or the meal offering. Why is that? Why are these three korbanos singled out, these three actions singled out? So the Ramban points out that they're much less severe than the typical korban chatas. So korban chatas usually is for something which has, if done purposefully, would be a korban would be a punishment of kares, and therefore when doing it in a mistake, there's such a korban. But in this case over here, these are not as egregious. It would not be a kares in the same way. So therefore, because it does not have that same level of gravity, therefore there is a little bit more space for a person. I saw a beautiful explanation that Rabbi Berdnosh suggested from Gris Kollel in Yerushalayim, where he says a very beautiful thing. He says that the Korban Chatas, with the typical Korban Chatas that we've learned about, the four versions we learned about it beforehand, are when a person transgresses a universal objective transgression, where, there's Shabbos, there's Nida, there's all these various different ideas which are very severe halachas in Torah thought and in Torah regulation and law. And a person transgresses them, they're essentially, that's an objective standard they have crossed. But all of these three are very specific and subjective to a circumstance. The person was in a situation in which they saw testimony, and then they refused to testify. They have a responsibility. They have a responsibility to the victim. They have a responsibility for the posterity and security of society to testify, and yet they hold themselves back. A person finds themselves in a position of impurity and then doesn't withhold themselves and doesn't understand the boundaries necessary for their state and their standing in life. Even though everybody else is going to the Beis Hamikdash right now and it's the Shalosh Regalim and they made plans and they sent out the e-invites and they in their circumstance, they're different to other people at this point in time. And similarly, even more so, when a person makes their own shavua, a person understands that they have a higher calling, they have something that they need to be doing in their life, and they make the regulations necessary to be able to do that, and yet they didn't listen to it. They don't live up to the calling they know is the calling for themselves. In all of these situations, they're all subjective, and therefore this is the only place in the Torah where the Torah gives us a subjective way of atoning for it. Because the situations are subjective, it's the only time where a korban relates to the subjectivity of the person and their financial standing in atonement. And therefore, a person may find atonement in a way where perhaps if their financial standing is lower, they will have another means or avenue of atonement. Finally, one last question is that what is the problem with withholding testimony? Why does the Torah isolate this particular this particular issur of knowing testimony and not giving it? The Shem HaTov, Rabbi Bernard Weinberg, has a very beautiful point where he says that he comments that in the last generation we've seen this as well, and this is an example of something which is a greater idea in society, and that is the following, is that after the Holocaust there were many who bottled up and did not tell. It was too painful to open up that door to describe what it was that they went through. And Rabbi Weinberg says, but they bear the testimony which the next generation needs to hear, and if they don't, they do bear a fault. There's something missing, because the next generation needs to know that story as they fade away, as the living survivors fade away. The next generation needs to know. The next generation needs to know the testimony of what happened. And there's so many times enough that we throughout the generations and personally, where we bear some information, we hold the keys to a very, very important idea And perhaps we're the only person who can convey that idea. And if we were to suppress it, perhaps homiletically, that's a sin. What the Torah is telling us is it's important to be able to convey the necessary experiences that we have, so vicariously those beyond us can experience them too. With this, we conclude the sixth aliyah in Vayikra. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.